Tonight we want to talk about the four R's of reformers. This came up for us guys in second talk last week, and so we want to talk a bit more about it. And so this is actually adapted from chapter 4 of the RE textbook, some of you already have that. And so I'm not going to just repeat everything that's in that chapter, because he has some different good points that are worth checking out for yourself. But I thought I'd bring it to you tonight in such a way that just kind of to make it really kind of break it down, make it plain, and just kind of help understand how these four principles can be a real help to you. And so, the four R's of reformers are based on Galatians 2:20 and 21. And it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And so we want to look at that, and it's these four R's that kind of come from these verses. They give really, for us, important keys for finding freedom from addictive and destructive behavior. And so this can be anything. It can be, say, a substance we're addicted to. It can be a behavior, say, whether it's anger, whether it's dealing maybe with thoughts of depression and other things. And so want to just kind of dive into that. And so these are essentially the four R's of the reformers. And so I'll list these, and then in your notes, we'll go through each of them specifically. So the first one is one that we reaffirm our helplessness. Second is that we realize our new identity in Christ. Number three, we recognize the power of faith. And then number four, relinquish self-ownership. So we're going to look at those tonight and the principles behind those. So first off is reaffirming our helplessness. And it begins with that thought, I am crucified with Christ. And so we think, first of all, that sin is any behavior that's harmful and destructive to ourselves and others. And we could very easily put addiction in place of the word sin as well, because sin by its very nature tends to be addictive, right? And so anything that we do that we know this is not good for me, this is not good for other people, right? And something we want to recognize too is that all of us have a problem with sin. It isn't just, well, some of us do and others have it all together. No, all of us struggle with it in one way or another. And this is a verse, it says, for there is no man that sinneth not. And that's the thing, that I would say that we don't all necessarily sin the same way. We don't all have the same bad habits. There's some things that we would never do that someone else does. There's other things that we do that other person would say, well, I would never do that. But we all struggle with it in one way or another. We have bad habits that we want to deal with. And Paul, who wrote this, he was one, he had the same struggle, and it was actually something for a lot of years he didn't think that he did, but then later on in life he said, I'm like the chief of sinners. I have as big a problem with it, or had as big a problem with it as any. And so this is kind of what he's laying out, is how he found victory over that. And so we find, though, that instead of condemning us, Jesus came to save us all from our sins. That's really what his name means. Jesus means salvation, right? And so he came to save us from our sins. And so he offers us mercy, forgiveness, and grace. Mercy, I think we understand fairly easily. It's where maybe we deserve some kind of punishment, but someone is lenient to us. They say, I'm not going to give you that full punishment. Forgiveness, we understand, is when we've done something wrong and someone says, okay, I forgive you, and it's you're set free by that forgiveness. Grace is some that we're maybe not necessarily as familiar with, but we want to think of it in terms of unmerited love and favor, where it's going one step beyond, where not only do you not punish someone, but you give them what they need so that they can stop doing that again. And so that's really with God, with His grace, He wants to give us that, to give it, to provide us with the help we need, and it's a sign of His love that He just doesn't look at us and say, well, you messed up, and he doesn't punish us. He's willing to set us free from that, but then He also wants to help us so that we don't keep doing the same thing. But the thing is that unfortunately, what a lot of times what happens is we can spend many years trying in vain to convince ourselves one of two things: either we don't have a sin problem, or that we can fix the sin problem ourselves. And with so many, we can think of that. Maybe if we're struggling with a certain behavior or a certain addiction, we try to convince ourselves for many years, oh, I don't really have a problem. Or we say, well, I do, but I can handle it. I can fix it. I can deal with this. Till we get to a point where it overtakes our life, and we're at a point where we've pretty well destroyed ourselves, and we have to say, okay, yeah, I do have a problem, and I can't fix it. And so once we recognize our sin problem and we affirm our helplessness to rid ourselves of its guilt, shame, and condemnation, we come to Jesus in faith to receive His forgiveness and cleansing. And so that's the thing, is that when we've done something wrong, we feel guilt and shame. And we've talked about this before, we can try to do so many different things to cover that, but we really can't get rid of that. But Jesus has provided a way that we can have that shame covered over and removed, that it's, we don't have to feel that anymore. We can be forgiven, we can be cleansed, and it's in God's eyes as if we've never sinned. And so it comes to us as we recognize we can't fix ourselves, we turn to what Jesus has done for us, and then we get that cleansing that we need. But of course, while we are forgiven of our sin, we can still struggle with it, because all sin tends to be habitual and addictive. That's just by nature what it is. And so Jesus as well, He wants us to give us victory over those struggles that we have through His grace, where He wants to give us the strength that we need so that we're not going to continue to fall victim to that bad behavior. But too often what we do is we think, okay, I can fix this myself. Yes, He forgave me, He cleansed me, but this problem, I got to deal with it on my own, and I just got to try harder. And sometimes what we do is we use a lot of different rules and laws that we try to impose upon ourselves, that we think this will solve it, this will fix me, I will make these changes, and I will totally overcome this myself. And we kind of see with Paul that he lived his life by various rules and laws, and it didn't help him. And he wrote Galatians because what was happening is they got deceived into doing that and thinking, oh yeah, they actually figured, well, if I follow this kind of religious practice and I do this, well, this will fix me up. And so he said there, well, if, he said at the verse 21 of Galatians, he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness be by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That if we could fix ourselves up, then Christ wouldn't have had to come and die for us. And so, that's the thing. If we try to do all these different things ourselves, what we do is we frustrate the grace of God. What that means is God's trying to do a work in us to give us victory, but by us trying to do our own thing, we limit and negate the work that Jesus wants to do within us. And so what has to happen then is that we reaffirm our helplessness, where we say, okay, without God's help, I can't find victory over this stubborn habit or addiction that I have. And so when we learn to do that, we turn away from our own self-reliance. We stop thinking, well, I can handle this. And so we say, I need your help, Lord. Please help me. And we turn to Him for the help that we need. And so when we're doing that, what is happening is that by faith we're recognizing that we are crucified with Christ. That the person that we once were, that always sought after those things, that in Christ that old person is dead, and that there's a new person that is now to a new way of living that we're to be living in. And it talks about this in Romans 6, 6 and 7, that our old man, which is the old man that always went after that addictive, destructive behavior, that old man is crucified with him. The body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's really what we want to understand, is that before it seemed it always had such power over us, but when we say, okay, I can't live that way anymore, I need your help, God, then he helps us to have new life where that doesn't bind us anymore. And so that brings us to number two, the thought that we need to realize our new identity in Christ. Because we're crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. So there's part of us that we think is dead, this, the old part of us, but now there's a new part of us that is alive. And it's different because it's not just us, but it's Christ in us too. And so it's the thought that belief determines behavior. How we view ourselves affects the way that we act. And so if we think of ourselves in a certain way, we're going to tend to act that way. And so, for much of our lives, our sin or addiction defined who we were. Right? And we think of that, that we people started to call us this, or we started to call ourselves it ourselves, that where I'm an addict, I'm a drunk, I'm a crackhead, or whatever it might be, right? And that's what we come to be known as. And we recognize there's so much more to who we are than that thing, but that's what happens, is that that's how others start to look at us, the lens they start to look at us through, and that can be the lens that we start to look at ourselves through. And we think of ourselves in that way. How is that going to affect us? We feel shame, and we basically have what would be a shame-based identity. That is imposed upon us. And so we think, okay, well, I'm a drunk. I've always been a drunk. I'll always be a drunk. I'll never find a way to get victory over this. That's what we can think of. I'm a failure. I'm always going to fail. Right? And if we have that thinking, that we're defeating ourselves before we even start, right? And so, the thing is that when we come to Christ in faith, and we looked at last couple of weeks, the idea, old things are passed away, all things are become new. And so that includes a new identity in which we can now live and experience freedom and victory. That we can think, those are the things that we were, but that isn't who we are now. That's our past. That's dead. That doesn't have to, we don't have to drag that past around for the rest of our life. With God, we have a new start. And so when we come to Christ for salvation, we understand that we get adopted into God's family. And so we're now identified by God as His children. And this was actually some that came up in the webinar this week. Just this idea of helping a person to see that you do have this new identity. And one fellow, a phrase that he put out that I thought was really important was this idea of according to whom. And so many people can have thoughts of who we are, but we ought to think, okay, well, whose opinion really matters? What I think of myself maybe doesn't matter too much, what others think of me, but what does God think of me? And the thing is that when we come to Him, He says that we're His children, and He loves us, and He's pleased with us. And He doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees us as being part of His family, and he loves us. And so when we have that change, it changes the way we act, that we think, well, it's not who I was anymore, that I'm living differently. I know in the book, Steve Currington gives the illustration this way. It's if you had a lady that was, say, a prostitute, and she ended up, king fell in love with her and they got married and she became the queen, right? She wouldn't go back to her old life after that, because now she has a different life that she's living. Why would she want to go back to that? And it's the same with us. It's like we have a new life now, and we say, I don't want to go back to that because I have something, a whole different life to live. And that's the thought. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But also, we want to think that through the Holy Spirit, Christ now lives in us. And so it isn't just us all alone trying hard to do better in our own strength. We have Christ with us, and He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us in our lives, to help us make good decisions. He wants to strengthen us in times of trial so that we'll have victory. And so we want to learn that it's our life is different now, that we have a new life in Christ, we have a new identity, and we have someone else that's within us to help us. And we can find victory through Him. And it can just be such a relief that it's like, it's not just the same old me trying again and expecting I'm just going to fail over again. You're dealing with a whole new reality where you can have victory. So then number three, we want to recognize the power of faith. That the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And so the thing is, before we came to Christ, a lot of what we placed our confidence or our faith in was not worthy of our trust, right? We believed many lies which brought us into bondage. That there's different people that sometimes we trusted that we thought would be lead us right, and they led us wrong. There's different things that we figured, oh, just having one, that it's not going to cause any problem, and we end up, it wasn't just one, it was a half dozen, and we got ourselves into a big mess, right? There's a lot of different things that happen where we're trusting in something. Sometimes, a lot of times, we're trusting in ourselves, our own ability to be able to handle something. And I know I remember with my grandfather telling me about his family, there was always the idea, well, they thought, well, we could hold our liquor kind of thing. We could handle it. And then it was like, no, they couldn't. It was always that pointed, there was, it was always, well, let's see how much I can hold, and then he always went too far, and then it was a terrible mess afterwards, right? But there's different things like that, where we've trusted in all these different things, and we shouldn't have trusted in them, because they just led us into the problem that we were in. And so, if lies bring us into bondage, we understand it's the truth that can make us free. And so, we want to realize that it's important for us to have faith, but for it to be any good, it has to be in the right thing, right? If we're trusting, if we're believing what's a lie, it's not going to do us any good. It'd be like, say, as a kid, if you might have thought, okay, I've got this pillowcase or this umbrella, I'm going to climb up on the roof, and I'm going to jump off, and this will be kind of my parachute, and I'll just sail down to the ground and I won't get hurt at all, right? You could have complete faith to actually go and do that, but then upon regaining consciousness, you realize, boy, my faith was in the wrong thing, right? And that's the thing, is what happens. A lot of times we're trusting in some and it doesn't come through. But when we learn to put our trust in the right thing, in the truth, then we find that it was worth trusting in, right? And so when we trust the truth, Jesus Christ is the truth that is God's Word, then the greater the freedom and victory we will experience. And so it's the thing that faith is proven by action. So as we believe in what God's Word declares as to our new identity and Christ's power within us, we begin to live and walk differently. And that's kind of the thing, is like we can get some of these ideas and think, oh yeah, this could maybe help me. But if we never actually apply it, if we never actually try to do what it says, then we're not going to be able to find the victory we seek. And so we've got to realize that the power of faith. And I know one chapter I've just been going through in my daily Bible time is Hebrews 11. And you can just read there about all these things that these people did by faith. That they went through some difficult situation. One of the things that I saw with Moses was where he was in a position he could have become in line to be a Pharaoh in Egypt, but he got to a point where he decided, no, I'm going to basically identify with the Israelites who were the slaves at the time. And it doesn't make sense. Why would he do that? But then he realized in the end that he was right, that it wasn't worth going along with that and betraying his own people. And so there's different things like that. If we learn to walk and live by faith in what God's Word says, then we find that it's worth trusting in and it brings us to the right place in our lives. So then finally, number four is relinquish self-ownership to God. And it's the idea that the Son of God loved us and that He gave Himself for us. Because a lot of times what has happened in our life is our tendency has been to rebel against all authority and say, I want to do it my way, I want to go my own way, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. And where has that brought us so often in life, right? It's brought us into a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of sorrow, where there's different people that have been authority figures in our life that, though not perfect, that God's put them there to kind of help guide us and keep us on the right path. And when we have pulled away from all those, we end up in a lot of trouble. And we realize that, boy, if I just listened to this person, if I just been willing to submit to that, boy, it would have made things a lot better. And it's kind of the thing is, the devil really gets us twisted around just to get to think that God is our enemy. Everything that he says, he's just trying to ruin our fun. He's just this ogre that's just trying to make my life miserable. Where the fact is, he's trying to keep us safe. He's trying to keep us on a path that will be good and beneficial to ourselves and others, right? He's not our enemy, right? He's the best friend we've got. And the thing is Jesus saw the path that we went down. It talks about that we all have gone astray, we've turned everyone to our own way, but he came to give his life for our forgiveness, right? That he came to rescue us from our self-destructive path. He redeemed us. It's the idea that really we had become slaves to our bad habits and our sinful ways, and he basically freed us, came and purchased us and freed us from that slavery, right? And so now he wants us, he did that so that we can now live an abundant, fruitful life. It talks about in John 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And really we can think of our sin or addiction as being that thief, that it stole from us, it destroyed a lot of things in our life, right? But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. And that's what he wants to give to us, right? And so that's why he died and gave his life for us. And so in that sense, he's purchased us. He's freed us from that. And so it's the thing is, when he's done that, we say, okay, well, he's done that for a reason. He's got a plan for my life. I should submit to that. And when we learn to stop fighting God, and instead say, okay, you know what's best? I've been driving myself in the ditch over and over again. I'm going to let you drive now. I'm going to let you kind of guide my life. And as we do that, then we find, wow, this life is going way better. That things are happening differently, and I'm responding differently, and just our life starts to be a life where it's honoring God and it's a blessing to others instead of being a burden and a hurt to other people. And so we really want to see that it's when we're fighting and when we're saying, I want to do it my way, that we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Whereas instead we say, okay, Lord, I'm done fighting. You take kind of you can drive now, and I'll just trust you. As we learn to do that, it helps us to have a lot of victory in life. So those are kind of the four thoughts, and so just some final ideas with it, kind of with the first one of reaffirming our helplessness. We need to ask ourselves, have I been trying to overcome this bad habit in my own strength? And I said, oh, I can deal with this. I've got this, right? Or are we willing to say, okay, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. God, can you help me? And we've considered that thought many times. What Paul says, when I am weak, then am I strong. That when we think that we can handle it, that's when we fail. When we recognize our weakness and we seek to get as much help as we can, that's when we succeed. Then secondly, in regard to the idea of realizing our new identity, we want to ask ourselves, how do I view myself? What do, when I look in the mirror, what do I see? And we can sometimes be very negative and think or we can think of what others have said of us, and that can get us down. But then what we want to say, okay, what does God say about me? And when we know him as our Savior, he says about me, I'm his child, he loves me, and he's never going to stop loving me. And that's kind of the thing. We think, okay, well, whose opinion matters the most? And we say, well, mine doesn't matter as much as God's does, others doesn't matter as much as God does, right? And so we want to think of that, and we want to realize, how is my view of self contributing to my success or failure in overcoming my bad habit? If I'm always looking at myself negatively, I'm not going to probably have victory. But if I'm seeing myself the way God sees me, then that can help me to find freedom and victory in life. But then number three, the idea where we're recognizing the power of faith, we say, what am I trusting in to give me victory? And is my trust in the right thing? And that's kind of the thing is, I know Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Right? And that's sometimes what we do is like, well, we keep trying this same thing and it doesn't work. And we think, well, if I just try one more time, it's going to work. Right? Whereas sometimes we need to say, okay, this isn't working. Let me put my trust in something else. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to try it. He wants us to try him out and allow him to prove himself to us. But then as well, the final thing, do I insist on running my own life, or am I willing to allow God to guide me instead? That we think, okay, where has doing things my way gotten me in life? And maybe God has a better way than what I've been thinking. And it's, we can have our plans and our different dreams and different things, but we want to realize if God has different ideas for our life, it's not going to be, we're not going to be worse off by following his ideas. We're going to be better off. And so sometimes it's trusting and say, okay, this is maybe not what I want, but I want to follow what you're guiding me in. And then it might be years later we realize, boy, yeah, if I would have got what I wanted in that situation, my life would have been a mess. But instead I waited and I got what he wanted for me, and things came out a lot better. So that's kind of the idea. And so with these thoughts, it's just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind. And it just can kind of be a help to you, especially if you're dealing with some specific that you're struggling with. You can kind of remind yourself of these four R's, and that can sometimes help you kind of change your thinking, and so then you can have a better response. All right, so any thoughts or questions before we conclude? Yeah, no, it's something they've been using quite a bit through the years in Reformers Unanimous. So yeah, it's helped a lot of people, just that kind of breaking it down in that way. So. All right.